We come to product development. That's we are trying to understand now the approach towards the product development. So Essence is a continuous development. As you know, that product life cycle is being faced by everybody. So organization has to be continuously looking for various other alternative products to come into the market. This is essential to not only counter competition, okay, meet the demand also, be the pioneer, all prevent your loss due to the product declining, product needed to be withdrawn from the market because it has started declining. That's the last leg of the product life cycle. Market research, if regularly done, it does help you know the not only the current need, changing need, etc., emerging need, latent need, something that they have it but nobody could capture it. Now that when you are talking to him, you are realizing it. So those aspects will help you to do the product development. Okay, and they take the new product development well in time. Well in time. So proactiveness always helps, as it says, not when you start facing a reducing sale. Okay, so then you are probably late. And various ways companies can ensure continuous product development, reassessment of a product mix, a product line, so that strategic decisions can be taken. The innovative product, which is totally new to the market. So we are now getting, giving you some idea. Whether you want to enter with an innovative product, which as they say is totally new to the market, nobody has introduced. So that is one strategy that one can take. Introduce after understanding the demand coming out from the different products currently not available. You have understood certain latent needs and therefore you have to come out. And not only at times latent needs, say the Walkman when it came out, which you can attach, you know, like on belt or something, and enjoy music, but it was still a bigger case, cassettes can be put in, etc. Okay, however, Apple came much after them, but they still innovated the product that they bought, small one just put here and had thousands of, you know, songs can be already pre-recorded in that and then you enjoy them. So the innovation can come in many ways. Alternatively, firm has to generate idea constantly and explore feasibility of what can be introduced. Can it be a totally new product line or under the existing product line, can a new product be introduced, etc. A new product is accepted, if gets, then again that same journey of introduction, growth, etc. will start. But it will keep you agile, it will constantly give you the growth. That's what is the art. Modified product, so innovative product once we discuss, then comes the modified product. Company introduces just a basically modified or completely modified product. So the product is not new to the company, product is not new to the market, but it comes with lot of add-on features, okay, or it is redesigned completely. It may be due to a competitive move and a competitor has come with a better feature or a better design product as expected by the consumers, not available. The consumer expectations are changing. Though they like a product, they want to use that product, but there are certain expectations building. So that is not present, so that there is a fear that consumer may move away from you. Comes then the third category called new product, products offered by the firm which have not been offered in the market by the firm. Now that's a new product, means product is there in the market, you are introducing it, which is a new to you, new, not new to the market. DSLR cameras were there, they were pioneers like Nikon and Canon. Sony introduced later. So for Sony, it's a new product. For market, it's not a new product. So that is what one has to understand. Process of a new product development. So as we understood that innovation, modification, okay, modified product and the new product. These are some of the way that the product development approach can be considered. But overall, it's the new product development approach that one has to understand, which has been taken up by BAH model. This is developed by Booz Allen and Hamilton, therefore it is also known as a BAH model. It's a 7-step process that one need to go through it. I'll be of course covering them out here, but let's see that what is this. So it starts from the top, moves down. Okay, you may wonder, but this is the way the original representation is known as a BAH model. So 7 stages are new product strategy, idea generation, screening and evaluation, analysis of it about the business, then design and develop, do the testing and then commercialize. So these are those 7 steps we get into understanding one by one. First of all, as we understood that product mix is a whole new dimension, simultaneously the new product development strategy is also another challenging and different dimension, and it has to parallelly work in the organization. Okay, so product, and as a result the organization has to have a larger focus, and therefore they should have a new product strategy in place. When it comes to new product, what is the company strategy? So firms evolve their business strategy and decisions are aligned with the business objective. When I say that, it is whether you will always be reactive, whether you will be a pioneer, whether you will be innovator, whether you will be just a modifier. So what is that strategy part that company has to be fully clear about? Okay, product development strategy needs to be there and aligned with the business objective. So if suppose you have been a leader, then you have to have a proactive product development strategy, and therefore you have to be meeting customers regularly to understand their changing needs. So that's about broad organization strategy, synced your new product development strategy. So your organization stands as a leader, then your product development strategy also has to be of a leader nature. Idea generation, there are many ways that idea can be generated. You have to have a mechanism which is allowing you to pull the idea, attract idea towards you. There may be formal system, there may be informal systems, and numerous sources should be encouraged. So it could be your employee itself, you should be your consumer, it should be your network team member, it could be your own research and development. So idea has to emerge, idea source has to be therefore kept open and allowed it to be tapped. Screening of the idea. So once ideas come in your basket, you need to screen them. As they say, the seven heads, you need to wear seven heads of a different types. But that is after you receive an idea. If you start wearing seven heads before somebody is putting an idea, then he or she will get discouraged. So first allow idea to come, then get into the screening. So idea when screened, first of all, do you see that it matches with the current challenge or the objective that company has in front of them? So first of all, meeting with the objective of a company vis-a-vis marketing, etc. Generally, committee. So there is always more than one guy from different functional specializations will come together to evaluate the idea. It requires evaluation of a cost. So of course, one end you have to have a parameter to judge them. So there has to be a parametric framework. It also gets into understanding what may be the cost of it. You may like the idea, but what may be the cost of it? Will it be relevant to the customer need and requirement? Will it create the competitive differentiation? Will it be marketable? How long you will have a proprietary access to that? How difficult it is for the competitor? Will it be profitable for you? Okay, will it generate that? Shortlisted ideas are further evaluated for certain other feasibility parameters, because after that it's a matter of development, concept testing, and those things will come. So it gets into what you call a business analytics. Ideas, most feasible shortlisted ideas are evaluated for the business. So there may be a research done to see what may be the marketing potential. Okay, what is the expectation of a price at which one can sell this, etc. So finally, what may be the return on capital, return on investment. Okay, many times dipsticks, so that's what I told you, research is done. It may require an elaborate decision making research, so elaborate primary research, because you may have to invest, even to conceptualize you may have to invest in that. Okay, so that aspects will require a detailed survey. Projected ROI is expected to be achieved to get the desired benefit. So what is the gestation period also comes, this entire conceptualization to commercialization, there is a gap. So, and even after introduction, many ideas of the product you have to give a time to find an acceptance before it starts giving you profit. So that's the gestation period. So that aspect also has to be kept in mind. And keeping all that in mind, what is the return on investment, and is that sufficient enough? Is that as per your corporate guideline? So that needs to come in. Then starts the design and development. So you then actually get into developing it. Okay, so you will now get into the drawing board and you start developing specification sheets, testing methods, etc. And then finally a concept product will emerge with the certain specifications which all of people have come together and discussed. Essentially the brand and the marketing team play a vital role. Having been able to produce a concept product, concept this thing, you need to get into testing. However, just to give you an idea, design development and testing, there can be also a concept testing stage. So you have conceptualized certain things, you can probably visualize, you can create probably a dummy product or a drawings, etc. Then even a concept testing can happen, wherein you invite customers, give them the idea, get a feel of it, get their suggestions, etc. And then get into actually development of the concept product. So that's a conceptual testing. But here the thing is, after you develop a product, you get into testing it. So there can be pre-launch testing, soft launch testing. So pre-launch testing is no commercialization is yet done. You will test them in a random selected market. It could be very small market, it could be representative market, wherein they are representing the overall dynamics that every market will have, and there you will try to get them pre-launch testing. So you are like introducing the product, but it is not commercially launched, etc. And you are gathering feedback from different stakeholders. Soft launch, you will kind of create a soft launch. You will also mild advertising, etc. Network will be in sync with that. It is available on the retail counter. While in the pre-test is this thing, it may not be available in the retail counter. It may be done through a clinic, wherein you will call certain people, certain like-minded customers and various stakeholders to get a feedback. But here it is available at retail, and then you see the feedback actually. Testing is done to ensure product meets finally customer requirement. That is why the testing is done from the perspective that you are understanding the solution that the customer is looking at. So you are trying to gather an idea as to what change you need to bring in. Remodification is undertaken, and then test marketing is also done. After the remodification, the marketing part gets tested. So marketing part, when I say, it is like the positioning, the communication, comprehension of the communication, which way if it is put in, people will find relevant to their solutions, etc. So even test marketing is done. So in a select market, in different, say like if you take Mumbai as a test marketing this thing, then South Mumbai have a different communication, danglers and this thing been put up into retail, etc. And they try to study which may not, in Southern Mumbai or in Northern Mumbai, again a different communication message, offer different, etc. And you collectively see what is working for you. So that's a marketing related test marketing. Then finally we come into commercialization. You are actually introducing the product in the market at full scale. Okay, product is launched in the market with whatever the product mix strategy on launch being fully operationalized. You may have a phase-wise product mix development strategy, that's okay. You have complete marketing plan, phase-wise marketing plans, launch plan ready, media plan is in place. Okay, you also get into measurement. Okay, so there has to be a dashboard developed to tell you whether you are successful, whether your ad is yielding the result, whether your promotion is getting you the customer, whether footfall has increased at the network level, etc. So dashboard is nothing but pre-decided parameters which will be studied regularly. Okay, so that's a project. It's at a different level of project step. The parameter may change, but they are the indicators to you whether things are working correctly. Okay, and they generally take the critical success factors in account. There are various tools and techniques available for that. Okay, refer figure 8.8, critical metrics in an NPD process, which is there in the book. So this is a one of the dashboard which you have in front of you. I'll just quickly explain you, not that we will get into a very in-depth understanding. You see, it has a new product development stages that we just studied. Then it has a three additional columns, critical success factor, the metrics, the tools and techniques one can use. So the first stage, which is the new product strategy, what has been mentioned is you have to have a critical success factor is the clear new product development strategy. I told you earlier that if you are in a leadership, then you have to have an innovation led. But if you are just a follower, then a modified or a modification led strategy is also okay. But you have to have things very clear. Metrics is return on investment, and the tools is various financial analysis. The second part to that is well communicated. It should be well communicated. So that's a critical success factor. So have a clear strategy and communicate well. Return on investment is one, the degree of communication. So for this, how much you have deeply communicated. And this gets reflected into a tool called Balance Scorecard. Not that we are getting into understanding of them. So likewise, it has gone into giving you each new product development stage and these three key areas. This makes a one approach in itself. It's a, so to say, a balanced scorecard or a dashboard model, not a balanced scorecard, so to say, but a dashboard model. So now we'll get into understanding the basics of product branding. It's not the branding as a subject totally. The brand is what you recall in your front of the Mercedes-Benz star or a Windows window design, etc. It's a name, term, sign, symbol. Parle-G, name, term, ICICI, sign is the Dettol with the sword, symbols are like Mercedes-Benz star, etc. So design is like a Microsoft window and that kind of representation. So name, term, sign, symbol or design or a combination of them intended to identify the goods or services. So what that goods is from a one seller or a group of seller and to differentiate them from the competition. So that is a critical aspect, differentiate. It is important for the brand to have facilitate, it should able to facilitate for you the association, that is the manufacturer or the force behind, recognition. It should be able to recognize well, should get recalled when the customer faces that need. It should differentiate you from the competition. What differentiates your brand? That is a critical parameter. Create a preference and then gradually going forward the equity and loyalty. So just to give you an idea, Parle-G is a glucose biscuit from the house of Parle. While there is Britannia, this thing is also there. ITC, Sunfist is there. So they are essentially the biscuits, but different competition. The moment you take a name Parle-G, you are able to differentiate. It is from Parle-G. It is not from the ITC or Britannia. So that's a definition meaning. Then comes the subject of positioning. Branding is the term name that you develop for it. Positioning is how it is perceived and placed by the consumer in their mind. So which is a result of relevance. First of all, what relevance the customer takes it, how he is able to differentiate you, and therefore he gives you a permanent space. So when you often go to a store and you say, give me Bisleri or give me Cadbury, so that's a verbal part between the buyer and a seller. However, between seller and a buyer, Gillette is a razor seller and a buyer like me, it is more psychological. Why is it that last 2 decades or 3 decades or more, I've been only using Gillette products when it comes to shaving related solutions. Okay, so it is therefore, brand has to occupy a preferential space in the mind of the consumer. I might have in between gone and tried. So that is what is that occupying that preferential space so that the recall happens whenever required. That's positioning. Okay. The core thought behind this subject of positioning is that each brand occupies a particular space, point in the individual consumer's mind. Okay. So it helps you which way categorizes the product. So when I'm hungry and if I feel I want to eat light snacks, then the Lay's comes into mind. But when I'm hungry, I want to eat sufficient this thing, but I want fast to cook, then the Maggi noodles will come to my mind. So category of the product, then the brand has to get recalled. So then the next, so this thing is a brand. Once I identify category, I should be able to get the brand name, which is coming in my mind is not an easy this thing. Consume or the seller has driven himself to place that in my mind. So that's a occupying the preferential space. So that's preferential space is by many ways, advertisement, communication, other stimuli, okay, then word of mouth, various things, your product experience itself will create that differentiated space in the consumer's mind. Then comes the subject of brand equity. That's also one of the product category strategies as per perspective, but it falls under overall the brand related matter. Equity is an advanced stage, not that right from day one can have. It's brand's power derived from the goodwill. So that's underlined word and name recognition. So name recognition and the goodwill come synonymous. You know, Tata group of companies or house of Tatas, you know, the kind of goodwill that I get vis-a-vis if I take some other name, it may not. Okay. equal would be the Infosys, that. So why that is happening? Because you have seen them doing certain things beyond sales volume, profit margin against competing brands. So that is there, translates into, but this is a result of them going beyond their call of duty, so to say. And they continue to do this while it translates into sales volume, people accepting you, you know, putting you above competition, etc. So in product, brand equity is it has to be developed, and it's a long-term challenge. It's a long-term activity. Okay, and you, not only you have to develop it, you have to consistently maintain it. Okay, so that's the one. So like for example, Kirloskar Motor, Parle-G, they continue to provide you quality products. They continue to provide you quality service, etc. Their quality is unmatched, as we many times say. So in service, so that's the service. The earlier point was the product side, the service side, the brand loyalty is developed through a long-term continuous enhancement that you bring into the way you deliver the service, the way you deliver the service experience to the customer. LIC, Zindagi ke saath bhi, Zindagi ke baad bhi. And during COVID and other time, people have seen it, like how they have proactively helped customers, and they have been doing it, not say like out of COVID, but even otherwise. So that's because they believe in that as a core service deliverables. Brand equity plays important role in the international market as well. It allows you an easy entry. Okay, likelihood of brand acceptance is very high. So this is why I told you easy entry. When Mahindra goes to the other market, people know that they are one of the utility vehicle leader in the Indian market. So you find it easy entry. Global stature of the brand adds to its ready preference. If the brand is a global, when Adidas comes into here in India, Nike, Polo, you feel that some international brand has come in. So the acceptance will be kind of immediate. You will not get into those risk assessments, etc. Recognition. After the brand has been conveyed, communicated, consumer has to recognize him. For that, consumer has to place various frame of references, and he should be able to recall those aspects, your either symbol, signs, etc. So that's what recognition is a need of an hour, where only awareness is not enough. Now even recognition at the point of sale enables you to trigger or get the favorable consideration. Customers might have gone with a different brand in mind, but because you created a recognition at the point of sale, consideration went towards your brand. So awareness definitely brings recall and the sale, but recognition at the right time also facilitates. So brand identity elements plays a very important role in recognition. So the moment you see the sword and the round, the Dettol comes, or the star, the Mercedes-Benz name comes, etc. So they definitely play that role. Now challenges in branding, just to understand, language and cultural orientation. So that's one this thing, but most of the brand, they therefore get into those designing elements rather than the verbal elements, because then it is easy across subcontinents, across language, culture, etc. Short-term outlook and orientation. Many times you take a very short-term outlook while you are developing a brand, and you do not have a long-term this thing, and then you start changing your promise, you start changing the way you are recognized, etc. What people earlier were looking at you and stand by you, now you have changed that position, so people are disinterested in you. So those kind of so that's a lack of quality consistency. Your standard of quality becomes questionable because of a lack of consistency. You may be striving hard, but you are not achieving consistency. As a result, customers look at negatively. Not being innovative, you same thing you offer again and again and over a long period of time, while customer tastes are always changing. They are variety seekers, and in that case, you tend to lose. Not knowing the pulse of the market, that is, not having a foot on the ground, customer changing needs, you are not able to identify and modify, if not innovate, modify the product. And inability to create a brand loyalty, you are not able to build a relationship. Now that's a critical blow to your brand. So that's a big challenge. Knowing and appreciating the culture of that country. So while you are entering, it is essential that you should be aware of, fully aware of culture, subculture. Is there anything in your brand which may be a counter you know, productive or against the brand. So you have to take care of those softer issues also. So maybe sometimes some symbol in your brand is a counter this thing. The color maybe counter some verbatim that you've written. So you have to be careful about those legal conditions and poor implementation. If there are countries where even in many cases in our India also, legal protection is not there. Brand has to have a legal protection so that copying, duplicating, etc. is prevented. So that's also a challenge of the branding. So we get into a section where I'll try to help you with the product strategies and a communication strategies. Essentially, at one point we will try to combine both so that you get a comprehensive idea. There's a relativity to that. Product extension. So what is product extension when you say? Now this perspective is explained to you from the perspective of taking your product to an international market. All this subsequent thing that we are learning is taking a product to an international market. So in that case, what happens? So one thing you can do is an extension of the product. So same product as a home product is marketed in the other market. India Gate Basmati Rice. Now they don't change the product. Okay, they might change the packaging and all to suit the legal requirement, but Basmati Rice is same. So same product is taken to all markets abroad. Okay, no change in the product or the feature thereof. It will be good. It will be good strategy as it builds required differentiation and preferences among the local customers. So they will be like Indians are settled all over the world. So if India Gate goes into Dubai or goes into UK, there are Indians. So you will be able to get a warm reception by those people. So instead of foreign national, it is targeted at the local settlers, you know, those who are settled locally there, Indians settling in the various countries. Alternatively, successful brands in multiple countries can be launched as it is. So it's a successful brand, say like a Coke, that's an example. They were successful wherever they are. So that same product they are introducing in, say, India. So that's a product extension strategy. Product adaptation. Product is adapted to meet the specific need of that country. It could be out of legal thing or it could be out of customer requirements, etc. So you see that Starbucks, Oreo at China, Oreo has to modify the product to meet the Chinese taste and requirement, etc. Starbucks also, as I understand, to an extent adapts their coffee to meet the coffee lover's taste in that specific area. Even product strategies are customized to the local market. So when you are adapting the product adaptation, product strategies, what all strategies that we have earlier studied, there will be some form of customization to find a local acceptance. It can be result of a reactive action. So either opportunity has emerged or research has suggested that you need to adapt or you need to change the product so that you will find a better acceptance in the local people. So in that case, you resort to what you call product adaptation strategy. Then comes the product development, which is developing a new product. It's a totally new product. After you really get into the comprehensive understanding of the consumer need, what do the consumer feel about your existing products, etc. What are those unmet needs, etc. And then you try to get into developing a totally new product. Okay, we have earlier studied about new product, this thing. Now we talk about the communication. So we have to understand it's a key facilitator. Communication communicates not only the brand, builds the position, differentiate it from the competition, call to action is facilitated. Finally, all this thing is done to get the sale. So the customer is to get into the call to action mode. They should act as you expect them to. So now there is a broad framework which has been suggested. According to Kigan, the five strategies are possible, five alternatives that you have, because on one hand you have a product related strategy we have studied, extension, adaptation and new product. So the communication, so how communication in this can sink in to create that desired impact. So first is, I'm going to teach you that. So I'm right now just merely looks like as if reading. Product and communication extension, so it's a dual extension. So same thing is carried forward. Okay, whatever the advertisement that you had here is only reproduced, so to say, there, if you have to very simple term understand. Product extension, communication adaptations, is the same product taken to the international market, but some adaptation to the communication done so that the local people comprehend it better and accept. product adaptation, communication extension. You are adapting a product. You are adapting a product to suit the local requirement. However, that adaptation is not so great that you need a communication overhaul. You may be able to take the same communication forward there. Okay, product and communication adaptation. Here, both the things undergoes a change. Okay, and when the product invention happens, everything is new. So, communication also has to be new. So, we get into understanding them. So, this section is going to take you through that. And that's the, at the end, we are ending this chapter. Product and communication extension, that is known as a dual extension. Firm chooses to market standard product. Okay, now that standard product, the communication developed, tried and tested in the local market. You know that it is effective, it generates the call to action. So, the same communication is also launched in the new market, new international market. No customization into a product or the communication strategy. It is very cost effective because then you are not incurring any cost of producing a new ad. Okay, generally preferred by large, small and medium sized firms or those who are doing just the extension based exports and those kind of things. They do not have their own subsidiaries and joint ventures, etc. They are doing a basic export of goods and there is an agent who is doing the marketing, etc. So, such kind of people can work if set of customers whose needs are similar to what you could probably understand the need in the local market. So, that's the example of basmati rice preference is always there among Indian. So, people, you Indians staying in US also will love basmati rice. So, you see India Gate can have same product being sent there and same communication can be tried there. Okay, friends, we understand the second product communication strategy, which is product extension, communication adaptation. Here what happens, firm markets the same product. Product extension means the same product is taken to the international other market. However, communication is changed to adapt to the local needs. Now, cost of operation due to this go up because you are changing. So, you have to produce the entire different communication. What price you may get out there may not be, proportionately possible to have an increased price out there. So, those aspects has to be studied. Third is the product adaptation. Communication extension. So, here firm has to adopt the product, firm has to change the product based on the local requirement because you have to compete in the local market. However, there is a good possibility that the same communication can be extended, same communication can be rolled out, standardized communication can be rolled out in the other market. It's generally suitable if there is a mergers and acquisitions kind of a scenario which is done. Idea is to leverage your brand equity. Because communication is generally conveying the brand equity. So, communication is retained same so that you can leverage and attract people with your brand equity. Okay, it helps you to reduce the cost. But okay, cost of product adaptation has to be also absorbed. Fourth is the product and communication adaptations. Means both has to undergo change. Therefore, it is a dual adaptation. Here in both product as well as the communication has to totally suit the local market. So, you have to do not only the product adaptations, you have to understand nuances, psychological aspects, what will, behavioral aspects, that consumer stimulus that you can offer so that consumer will accept your product. So, those aspects go into that. Certain factors like culture, traits, buying behavior, etc. compels you to also change your communication. So, that's a dual adaptation. Fifth is the product invention. So, now here, it's a new thing. Firm develops totally new product for a particular market only. Okay, after knowing actual need of those customers, firm do this when they make out that the current huge opportunity that they have cannot be fulfilled by any of their current product mix range. Okay, any of the product line. Now, new product thus will be in line with the customer's expectations, will give you a competitive edge. Either competition is not yet, there. So, either it may give you a pioneering status. If not, but as a follower, as a challenger competing brand, you will be still able to get the acceptance among the customer because it's a new product. If you launch it appropriately, then you will find the acceptance. So, that's a totally new. So, product is new. Therefore, communication obviously has to be new. Okay. So, friends, this was a chapter on a product per se, one of the important P of marketing. And we have studied this, so to say, completely. International marketing is no different. Product definitely plays a very significant role in helping you to succeed. And there are strategies. So we understood the product adaptations or new inventions, etc. Product extension, product adaptation, new inventions, etc. And how communication has to sync in with it to help you succeed in the international market. Thank you.